Shabbat Shalom, I'm Kimberly Rogers. Thank you for joining me for this Torah portion, Kedushim, from sundown to sundown, April 22nd and 23rd. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope you enjoy this teaching. Kedushim, it means holy ones. The Torah portion is Leviticus 19, verse 1 to 20, verse 27. The Haftarah is Amos chapter 9, verses 7 to 15, and Ezekiel 20, verses 2 to 20. And the Brit Hadashah is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, and 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 20. This is the Torah portion where we're commanded to be holy. Then God proceeds to explain how to go about doing that. Leviticus 19:1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Many of us have been taught that it is not possible for humans to be holy. Only God can be holy, according to what I was taught. But God actually calls on us to be holy. This happens 14 times in the book of Leviticus, that phrase, be holy. It's used 14 times. Just in the book of Leviticus. Apparently, for us to be holy is important to the Lord. The word be is a participatory word. We have to cooperate by our actions in order to be holy. Thus, non-participation means that we are not holy. But what is holy? Holy means set apart. Something is holy when it is selected from within a group of like items to be used for a particular purpose. Let's see what I mean by that. Let's say that you go to the grocery store to buy tomatoes, and you pick through the bin selecting the best for your purpose. And perhaps today you really want ripe tomatoes because you're going to serve dinner to a bunch of people. If you buy unripe tomatoes, they have to be in the window for a few days to ripen, and your dinner is tonight. So you don't want that. Instead, you select the ripest tomatoes you can find. You see, those ripe tomatoes suit your purpose. To you, they are holy. They are set apart. You have a purpose. You've selected them. They're holy, they're separate, and they're set apart. Now, let's say that the next time you buy tomatoes, you're going to have friends over to dinner, but in a couple of days from now. However, you have to prepare ahead because of some time constraints that you're going to have on that day. You won't have time to shop for ripe tomatoes on the day of your dinner party, so you have to select less ripe tomatoes to sit in the windowsill so that they will ripen over those couple of days. So in this instance, the less ripe tomatoes suit your purpose. The less ripe tomatoes that you select are set apart. They're holy for you. Well, God has a particular purpose. And we know that part of His purpose is to build a household called a kingdom. In order to get all those people who suit His purpose, He needs to make selections. Now, God would rather that all people would choose to be holy, and He calls everyone to do that, but of course, some reject being holy in favor of doing just, you know, whatever it is that they want to do. What God is looking for are those who are willing to participate in His purpose. They are like the tomatoes in a way. You know, we have to suit a purpose. But unlike the tomatoes, we get to voluntarily agree with God that this is what we will do. You know, whatever He says, that's going to be it for us. We intend to suit His purpose. We intend to be selected. We intend to be holy by acting holy according to the instruction that He gave us. That's what it means to be holy. It's your participation in His purpose. This is why you will often see those who believe that they are set apart actually acting like they're not part of the world. You know, they speak differently, they look different, they do different things than the rest of the world, and they don't care what the world thinks about it. Now, Kedoshim has the partial list of external activities that reveal our internal nature. Things like honoring parents and keeping the Sabbaths. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Most people don't know that God equates honoring of mother and father with the Sabbaths. Now, why is that? Well, it is because when we keep the Sabbaths, we honor God. And when we honor our parents, we also honor God. Now, keeping the Sabbaths is the basis of Torah doctrine because it has to do with honor. And who do you honor? Who has that special place in our life on earth? Well, on earth, it's that special place is for our parents. And in heaven, that special place is for God. In Leviticus 19:4, it says, "Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God." This one harks back to the commandment that says, "Have no other gods before me." Now, when we make a sacrifice, we're to do it God's way so that it will be accepted. Any other way is not acceptable. I don't care how much effort you put into it or how strong your emotions are. If you don't worship God the way that He says to do it, it's not acceptable. Moving on, he also says that we're not to strip our fields or vines bare so that others who are less well off than us can have anything. This speaks to generosity and hospitality. You know, Yeshua's foremother, Ruth, was the recipient of this law. Had it not been for her gleaning in Boaz's fields, they might not even have met. And he says, "Don't oppress your neighbor or your servant, and we're to pay them what they're due, and on time, too." And that means daily. Don't let the sun go down on the wages of the people that work for you. And we're to do justice and do good to others. You know, it says that we're not to foster the emotion called hate. Now, I've always said that Torah observance doesn't depend upon your emotions. It depends upon your actions, because your actions actually speak what's in your heart. But in this case, it speaks directly to the emotion called hate. You know, it doesn't talk about the emotion called love, because actions speak love. The actions of Torah speak love. Let's see what Leviticus 19:17 says. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. That's talking about the emotion. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, where have we heard that phrase before? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we heard it in the church, and when we were being taught this phrase, we were told that it was a new commandment, right? Well, now we know better. Leviticus 19:19 talks about keeping things pure, keeping your livestock pure. Don't mingle their seed. And it's the same with plants. God does not like hybrids. The first hybrids that we ever learned about in Scripture were way back in Genesis, remember? They were the offspring of rebellious angels and human women. And let me tell you something about these beings. They are evil beings. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, there is so much to talk about in this portion that I just don't have time for everything. And I hope that you have read or will go and read this Torah portion. It's so important. But I do want to talk about some things that God says makes you unholy and those things that get you cut off from your people. For instance, killing children heads the list. Not only killing them, but sacrificing them to Molech. Now, again, this heads the list of things that God says makes you unholy, and it also gets you cut off from your people. Starting in chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to the people of Israel, any of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." You see, this is not a law just for God's people. God said, I don't care who you are. Don't do that. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Listen, abortion is the de facto method of sacrificing children to Molech today. For those who think that people don't sacrifice things to ancient beings like they used to, those ancient beings that they like to call deities, you need to think again. In clinics all over this country, even all over the world, in utero babies, notice that I did not call them fetuses, in utero babies are being slaughtered. Now, how do I know that these abortions are actually sacrifices to Molech and not just, you know, they're killing a baby, which is bad enough? How do I know that it's actually a sacrifice? Because of the cutting up of their little bodies. All sacrifices involve some kind of cutting up to and including dismemberment. You see, there is no way to get a baby out of a womb before it's ready without this kind of sacrificial ritual where the woman's body is violated by her consent in most cases and the infant is ripped away from her. All abortion is pure evil. Even those where the pregnancy is the result of rape. Abortion is a ploy of Satan to keep our Father from achieving his goal of having lots of people to populate his kingdom. But you see, God has the upper hand because he created, especially for mankind, a thing called the resurrection. No other species of beings gets to experience resurrection. It was made by God for mankind for the express purpose of putting Satan on his head. Now, I suppose we could assume that God knew what was going to be happening with us here on earth way back in the eons before he even created the earth. So he knew that he was going to need a way to keep Satan from having his way. The resurrection was created to keep Satan from having his way. And by the way, God made the human body especially for the resurrection. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because all those babies that have been aborted over the millennia will be resurrected. Now, I believe that they will populate the kingdom. Remember, we're going to rule over people. Well, these resurrected babies are just one of the populations that will be in the kingdom for us to rule over. However, the kind of sacrificial rite that we modern people call abortion is not just killing an in utero baby. It is also the brazen, defiant act of taking your own child who is already born and offering him or her to Molech. Now, sometimes this happens years after the child is born. The Mayans were famous for this. You know, God despises this conduct. Now, starting in Leviticus 20, verse 6, here is the list of conduct that God absolutely will not tolerate. One is consulting mediums and necromancers. We call mediums channelers today, and necromancers call forth the spirits of the dead at seances. Plus, these folks claim to talk with the dead and with other types of living beings that are not human. Stay away from people who do this. And don't curse your parents. Don't commit adultery or any of the other sexual sins we've been studying. And Leviticus 20, verse 22, tells us why. It is so that the land may not vomit you out. It also says in Leviticus, don't walk in the customs of those around you, and do the things that the rest of the world refuse to do. Separate the clean from the unclean. You know, no other people in the world have concern about the issue of clean and unclean. Do you know how you can determine a person's level of concern with things of God? Well, just find out how much he cares about the issue of clean and unclean things. Leviticus 20, verses 26 and 27. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, like the tomatoes selected for a specific purpose. Remember? That you should be mine, he says. A man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, it can't be any plainer than that, what the requirements are to be holy, and what the requirements are if you want to be unholy. Cut and dried? Yes. Difficult? No. Shabbat Shalom.